All right, everyone, buckle up, because today we're going deep on a case. It's about dreams and deals and a very special car.
Ooh, sounds intriguing.
Yeah, this one's a real head turner. It involves a limited edition Corvette pace car.
A pace car, huh? So we're talking serious collector territory.
Oh, yeah. Big time. This case, Sedmak v. Charlie Chevrolet, went all the way to the Missouri Court of Appeals, and it's a wild ride.
And I bet it brings up some really interesting points about contracts, especially when you're dealing with something rare like that.
You got it. This case is like a crash course in what happens when a handshake agreement goes wrong, especially when you're talking about something unique and hard to find.
I'm ready to dive in.
Okay, so picture this. The Sedmaks, a couple absolutely love cars. They have their hearts set on this Corvette pace car. You know the one commemorating the Indy 500?
Oh, yeah, I know the one. They're pretty sought after.
Right. So they find this pace car at Charlie Chevrolet. They strike what they think is a deal, put down $500 as a deposit, and even start talking about some custom modifications.
Sounds like they were ready to roll.
They were. Everything seemed to be moving along smoothly. Until it wasn't.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, the car finally arrives at the dealership. And suddenly, they hit the Sedmaks with a curveball.
The dealership backed out.
Basically, yeah. They told the Sedmaks they couldn't have the car at the original price, which was something like $15,000. Mm. Instead, they wanted the Sedmaks to submit a bid.
So they were trying to auction off a car they'd already promised?
Exactly. It's like they pulled a bait and switch.
I bet the Sedmaks were furious.
Oh, you can imagine.
Right.
You have your dream car, you've shaken hands on the deal, and then bam, the dealership pulls a U-turn. So what do? Do they just walk away?
I have a feeling they didn't.
You know, these car enthusiasts, they're not giving up that easily.
Yeah.
They took Charlie Chevrolet to court.
Good for them. What did they argue?
Well, they argued they had a valid oral contract and demanded the dealership honor the original agreement. Now, you might be thinking, hold on. Don't big purchases like cars require a written contract?
That's usually the case, right? The statute of frauds and all that?
It's exactly. The statute of frauds typically requires contracts for the sale of goods over a certain amount to be in writing, to be enforceable. But here's where things get interesting.
There are exceptions to the rule.
You got it. And this case hinges on one of those exceptions.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more.
The court actually sided with the Sedmaks. They found that a valid oral contract did exist.
Even though it wasn't in writing.
Yep. They pointed to a few key pieces of evidence, starting with that $500 deposit.
Ah, so that deposit becomes a key player.
It sure does. It wasn't just a casual expression of interest or a down payment. It was a concrete action showing commitment to the deal. And that payment triggered a specific exception to the statute of frauds.
Which exception are we talking about?
The one that applies when there's part payment for a single indivisible unit.
Okay, single indivisible unit. What does that mean in plain English?
Think of it this way. The Corvette pace car wasn't a bulk order of identical cars. It was one specific, unique vehicle. And because the Sedmaks had already made a partial payment on that one-of-a-kind item, the court said the statute of frauds didn't apply.
So that deposit really carried a lot of weight legally.
It did. It was a game changer.
I see. Were there any other details that helped the Sedmaks case?
Absolutely. The court also looked at those conversations the Sedmaks had with the dealership about custom modifications.
Right, they wanted to make it their own.
Exactly. That showed they had a specific agreement on a unique product, further supporting the idea of a valid oral contract.
So Charlie Chevrolet really messed up with their actions.
You could say that accepting the deposit, discussing customizations, it all pointed to a mutual understanding and agreement. Plus, the court found the Sedmaks more believable than the dealership's representatives.
Makes sense. Appeals courts tend to defer to the trial court's judgment on who's telling the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even though there wasn't a written document, the court said there was enough evidence to prove a valid oral contract between the Sedmaks and Charlie Chevrolet. But hold on a sec. I have a question.
Shoot.
If this car wasn't technically one of a kind, couldn't the dealership have just compensated the Sedmaks financially? Why force them to hand over the keys to this rare Corvette?
Ah, that's where the remedy gets really interesting. The Sedmaks didn't just want money, they wanted the car. And the court agreed they should get it. They ordered what's called specific performance.
Specific performance? That sounds serious. What does it mean in this case?
It means Charlie Chevrolet was legally obligated to sell that Corvette pace car to the Sedmaks. No ifs, ands, or buts. They had to hand over the keys.
Wow. No wiggle room there.
Oh.
But why was specific performance granted in this case?
Well, this is where the concept of uniqueness comes in. The Uniform Commercial Code allows for specific performance when the goods involved are unique or in other proper circumstances. Now, traditionally, uniqueness was applied to one-of-a-kind items like, you know, a famous painting or a historical artifact.
So not just any old Corvette.
Right. But the court in Sedmak took a broader view. They argued this Corvette, while not technically one-of-a-kind, was incredibly difficult to replace.
So its limited edition status, the specific customizations the Sedmaks requested, and the overall scarcity of the car all made it unique in the eyes of the court.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And they also pointed out that finding a comparable Corvette would be a huge hassle for the Sedmaks. It would take time, money, and a lot of effort. It wouldn't be fair to just tell them to go find another one.
This case really shows how sometimes money just can't replace something unique and personally meaningful.
It definitely makes you think about what value really means.
It does, and that's just one layer of what makes this case so fascinating. There's actually a lot more to unpack here, especially when we consider how this ruling reflects a broader trend in applying the UCC.
Ooh, that sounds like a great place to pick up next time.
You got it. But before we move on to part two of our deep dive, I want to ask you a question.
I'm all ears. This case, Sedmak, it gives us this like really interesting peek into how courts are handling this whole idea of value. It's kind of a subtle point, but it's worth looking into.
Okay, I'm all ears. How does Sedmak play into this idea of value?
Well, like, think about it. Traditionally, contract law has been really focused on economic value, you know, dollars and cents. When a contract gets broken, the goal is usually to like put the injured party back in the position they would have been in if the contract had been fulfilled.
Right. So like figuring out the difference between the agreed upon price and what the item's selling for now. Right. But something tells me this case goes beyond just like simple dollars and cents.
Exactly. You're getting it. What happens when we're dealing with something that has value beyond just a price tag? Like something irreplaceable, something with sentimental value or emotional significance for the buyer. You know what I mean?
That's exactly where the Sedmaks case takes this really interesting turn. They weren't just after any Corvette. They wanted that specific Corvette, the one they chose with those specific modifications. It wasn't just about the money for them.
Exactly. And the court recognized that. They acknowledged that just giving them money wouldn't truly compensate them for losing this unique and super personalized item.
It's almost as if the court was saying, hey, some things you just can't replace with a check.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And this shift in thinking is actually really significant. It acknowledges that the value of goods can be way more than just their economic worth. It includes the emotional investment, the personal meaning, even the joy and satisfaction a buyer gets from a specific item.
So are we saying that the Sedmak case is about more than just contract law? Is it really about recognizing the full spectrum of value people put on certain items? Especially those one-of-a-kind or hard-to-find items?
Absolutely. It's a subtle but super important point, with implications for how we think about contract law, consumer rights, even the very nature of value itself.
This is why I love doing these deep dives. We start with what seems like a straightforward case about a car, and end up exploring these fascinating philosophical questions about the law.
It's all connected. The law is always evolving to reflect how complex human behavior is and the changing ways we interact with the world.
Okay, so we've covered the facts of the case, the legal reasoning behind the court's decision, even some of the broader implications for contract law. But let's make this practical for our listeners. What are the key takeaways here, especially for those who buy or sell unique items?
That's a great question. First and foremost, get everything in writing. Even if you have a solid handshake deal, spell it out in black and white. Specify everything, the goods, the price, the payment terms, any modifications or customizations, leave nothing to chance.
That's solid advice. A well-written contract can prevent so many headaches and potential disputes down the road.
Absolutely. Second, be mindful of the UCC and its rules about oral contracts and specific performance. If you're dealing with a single indivisible unit, think a custom-made item, a rare collectible, or anything similarly unique. A partial payment might be enough to create a binding agreement.
So even if it's not in writing, that deposit could be crucial?
Exactly. And if you're trying to get specific performance in a case like this, be ready to argue why money wouldn't properly compensate your client for losing that unique item. You need to explain why money just can't replace it.
So even if you're not a lawyer, having a basic understanding of these principles can really help when you're negotiating and entering into contracts, especially when unique or rare items are involved.
You got it. And finally, this case really highlights how important it is to approach contract law with a nuanced understanding of value. Don't just focus on the dollar amount. Think about the emotional significance, the personal investment, and the unique qualities of the goods involved. These factors can be super important in determining the appropriate remedy and making sure things are fair for everyone involved.
That's a really important point. It's a good reminder that the law isn't just about cold, hard facts and figures. It's also about recognizing the human element in every transaction.
Couldn't agree more. Sometimes, as we saw in the SEDMAC case, justice requires more than just a monetary payout. It requires making sure that the injured party gets the unique, irreplaceable item they were promised.
Okay, we've covered a lot in this deep dive. We examined the complexities of SEDMAC v. Charlie Chevrolet, explored its implications for contract law, and even delved into some bigger questions about the nature of value. What a ride.
It's been fascinating, and I hope our listeners are finding it as insightful as we are.
Before we wrap up this episode, I want to leave everyone with a final thought and a question for you to think about. This case really makes you think about the assumptions we often make about contracts, right? We tend to think like everything has to be written down, you know? But SEDMAC shows us that sometimes, like the context, the way people act, and even little things like a $500 deposit can really matter legally.
It really does challenge how we think about things, you know? This case reminds us that the law is often way more nuanced and complex than we think at first. It's not always about finding some like rigid rule. It's about understanding how those rules are actually applied in different situations.
It also shows how the law is always changing, trying to keep up with like the changing nature of business and how people interact, right? I mean, who knows what kind of cases we'll be seeing in a few years? Maybe fights over like virtual goods or digital assets or, you know, experiences that go beyond those traditional ideas of value.
Exactly. The digital world is changing how we buy and sell and value things. So the law has to adapt too.
Yeah.
Imagine maybe one day we'll be like deep diving into a case about a broken contract for like a virtual concert or some one-of-a-kind digital artwork.
Oh man, the cases of the future, I'm already interested. But for now, I think SEDMAC gives us a lot to think about. It reminds us that even cases that seem simple can bring up some really complex legal questions.
I totally agree. It really gets you thinking.
So for our listeners out there, especially those who might be lawyers, law students, or anyone who buys or sells unique items, what's the biggest takeaway from all this?
The main message is be thoughtful, be thorough, and know what's going on. Understand the ins and outs of contract law, know your rights, and don't be afraid to get advice from an expert when you're dealing with complicated transactions. It doesn't matter if it's a rare car, a piece of art, or even a one-of-a-kind vintage t-shirt. The things we've talked about today can help make sure your agreements are clear, enforceable, and protect you.
That's great advice. And I think it's worth repeating. Sometimes even the little details can make a big difference in a legal fight. Make sure to document everything. Pay attention to the fine print and never underestimate the power of a good contract.
You said it. And if you ever find yourself in a situation where a handshake deal has gone bad, don't hesitate to talk to a lawyer. A good attorney can help you figure out the law and fight for what you deserve.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into SEDMAC v. Charlie Chevrolet. We explored the details of the case, the law behind it, and even some of the philosophical questions this case brought up about value and how contract law is changing in our world. I hope you found it as interesting and insightful as we did.
It's always a pleasure doing these deep dives with you.
And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us on this legal adventure. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and always remember the law is everywhere, even when you least expect it.